Welcome to Kingdom
Blog
Empowerment
Talk Radio.
Blog. And here we have with us tonight Reverend Amoa Kodia, founder of Christ for the African Ministries of Dallas, Texas, and Reverend Betty Shelby of Amos Temple, Boley, Oklahoma. And we invite you to be a part of with us tonight, where we'll be talking about the series, first part of the series, Strong Christian Leadership, Your Worship, Relationship, and Covenant with God. It will be a part of seven key points that we will be delivering later on through the weeks. But the first series is Worship, Relationship, and Covenant with God. The second series will be on Developing Genuine Trust and Credibility. Third, we will talk about Sharing the Vision with Concise Clarity. Number four will be helping followers to succeed through Christian coaching and mentoring. Number five, communicating and listening. Number six, making decisions and being accountable. Number seven, remaining under the control of God. And we're here to help you to get kingdom and power today. So, again, we will be talking about the first series tonight about strong Christian leadership, worship, relationship, and covenant with God. How is that important to us to make us and help us to be strong Christian leaders for today? And I'm going to read just a few notes here that I took regarding being a strong Christian leadership, and share it with you tonight to for it to be a part of our discussion. And first of all, I would like to say that our worship and relationship and covenant with God is very key to receiving the mysteries of the kingdom of God, in which we will increase our awareness and vision, planning and goal setting toward the will of God. John 5:30 records the Jesus statement saying, "I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not see my own will, but the will of him who sent me." What is translated as will is in the last sentence is galema or telema, that implies what God wishes or commands. It is logical that since Jesus stated in different contexts that his purpose is to do the will of God, his Father, then it should be also the first order for a Christian ministry leader to comply with the will of God as well. Whatever our career may be, true leadership means to receive power from God and to use it under God's rule to serve the people of God's way. And that was quoted by Leighton Ford. So in order for us as Christian leaders to remain in communion and in covenant, we must worship and seek God continuously for divine revelation, and he will provide the necessary input and insight that we need. So I'm going to open it up for a discussion in this area, and I'm going to first open the floor to Apostle Paulius. Apostle Paulius, can you tell us why it's important for the Christian leader to worship, spend time in worship with God? And what does worship really mean for the Christian leader?
It is very, very important because when we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 15, God prophesies about the enemy. if you don't know God, and if you don't worship Him in the truth and the spirit, you cannot draw the energy or the power that you're supposed to face the enemy. So it is very, very important to know God first, and to know Him in the truth in the spirit, whereby you may be able to draw the power to face the enemy. Because in the chapter that I quoted, he said, "And I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So this means I am God Almighty. I'm going to put man out from the equation and help the woman to get a seed of love who will operate under the universal law to defeat lust that is on the earth, the worldly system. Jesus Christ was the seed of the woman God was talking about. So when Jesus came, he was alone going to fight those the seed of the serpent. Jesus stood as one person. So he did not trust man. He only was depending on God who sent him. So in every time or in every his free will, he do worship so that he can get connection, what to say and what to do. Because the whole world are under the rulership of devil. He was sent to destroy the works of devil. So he was not going to trust any man, but to his father alone. If you could remember, when he and his disciples went for a wedding ceremony, and the mother and the one was shortage, and the mother wanted Jesus to do something, and Jesus said, "Hey, woman, my hour hasn't come." Even though Mary was his woman, was his mother, he did not allow the flesh to dictate for him what to do. So all the time he was waiting for God, because he came to do the will of God, not him himself, not the will of the mother, but the will of the Father who sent him. So when Mary contacted him and said, "Son, it seems these people have short. There's no one. I hope you could do something." And Jesus said, "Hey, woman, my hour has not yet come." It means it's not the woman that is instructing him to do, but the Father who sent him. So we have to be very, very careful what we are doing. Being a leader, we don't listen to our followers, but we listen to God, who is the king that we are drawing men for him. So if we don't hear from God, we cannot lead successfully, because it's the only God that will instruct us how to do, how to worship, how to do everything. So we have to depend on Him alone, not our followers, or not an elder, not anybody, not a church elder, not somebody who is partner with you or supporting you. No, it is only God, the King of the universe, that we should listen to Him all the time, not even as a single day. We have to listen to Him every day, what to do, what to say, where to go, and how to react when a problem comes. So it is very, very important that we develop a partnership with God, because He knows the enemy. We don't know Him. We don't know what is the heart of man. He knows everything. He will reveal, as time goes on, He will reveal every situation to us so that we may be able to be successful, do whatever we're supposed to do. So, our worship with Him is very, very important. Because worship, when we worship God, He comes down and ministers to us. He comes down to minister to us and see the situation and tell us what to do. That's why He said, now is the time for those who worship me to worship Him in the truth, in the spirit. Because God Himself is a spirit. So we don't worship Him in flesh and in a carnal way, but in the truth and in the spirit. And because we are living in the flesh, we have to empty ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell inside us. And when the Holy Spirit come and dwell inside us, it means God Himself has taken control of our lives. We need to live a sanctified life, a clean life, that the word holy means to be clean. So if we are not clean, the Holy Spirit cannot come and dwell inside us. So first, we have to be clean. We have to be clean, and we have to be sanctify ourselves so that the Holy Spirit can come and dwell. Because the Holy Spirit cannot come and dwell an unclean body. Our body is a temple of God. And before God can come and dwell within us, first of all, we have to cleanse our body. Clean it totally. Wash it. And we thank our Lord Jesus Christ that He has a blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So before we even say anything to God, first of all, we have to acknowledge that we are born in sin. In the sin, our mothers conceive us. And we ask Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us. As soon as we acknowledge that we were born in sin, and ask the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us, then we pave a way for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell among us. Then our worship will be acceptable before the Lord. Amen. Hello.
Father, that was an awesome display of what the reason is that we should continue and remain in worship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He did it all for us on the cross, so it's not like God is relying on us to worship Him, that He be in existence, but He did create us to worship Him. And worshiping Him is not just singing a song or a psalm. It's obeying and giving our whole being unto God. And our worship can be in praise. It could be in thanks. It could be love, confession, attention, honor, obedience. It could be even in service. The success of our Christian leadership depends not on ourselves or our skills or our cleverness or our planning and so forth, but on God. So it's important that we worship Him also that we receive, you know, that's going to be our direct connection into relationship with God. Our worship drives the flame of being in relationship with God. The more we worship him, the more he draws closer to us. As it is stated in the word, we draw nigh to him, he would draw nigher to us. Then there is a covenant connection also that is established through us having a relationship by which we desire to honor it. And we're going to talk a little bit more about worship, and I'm going to turn it over to Reverend Betty Shelby to share her thoughts on worshiping the Lord and why it's important for the Christian leader to remain in worship with God.
Amen. As I look and for its worship, I think of the three wise men who were, they called them astrologers, but they were seeking reading. And as they were reading and searching out, they stumbled on some revelation. They found that there was something in the atmosphere that was going to be a change, and they sought out to find it. And there was a star in the heavens, and they decided to search out and find it. And on this journey, as they go, they brought gifts. So when you, I believe in worship that as we read and study our word, that search out Jesus, that we bring gifts. And he's already instilled in us gifts, but there's gifts that we bring to him. Here they went and they found the baby Jesus lying in a manger. They bought incense, myrrh, and gold. And this was symbolizing gold as him being a king, myrrh as he was going to die, and the incense were like a sweet-smelling savior before the Lord, for God. And that's what our gifts are. We should be, as we worship, it should be a sweet-smelling incense before God in his nostrils, that to worship would be true, his word. His word is worship all by itself. As we read and we study and we learn of him, we thank him every day for his grace and mercy, which is new. We thank him and praise him for life. We thank him and praise him for watching over us. We thank him, praise him, that he gives us peace. He gives us love. And he helps us to also, as we search him, to love him, to give him praise. As we want to do, we want to give of ourselves to him, whatever, like Isaiah, he says, when God asked him, sending anyone, is there anyone to go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And he went. And we should go humbly to do his work, whatever he has for us to do. And as we do his work, we give worship to him because he teaches us as we go. And we love him and love to do whatever he asks us to do. And gold is what, not always money, but what's within. The more that he cleanses us, as he says in his word, he washes us. And when he washes us, he makes us white as snow. But as he cleanses and as we go through the trials of life, and as we give more and more of ourselves, there are bricks, gold bricks planted inside of us. And those gold bricks helps us to magnify God. I've experienced that. And as I magnify him, and it was like everything that I have went over, that he has brought me through, that became a brick, a light within me, and I would praise him for it. So that's where I think in worship as leaders, the more we give, the more we do, and the more as we do in love for him, and as he has love for us, and we love our sisters and brothers, that gives worship to him. Amen?
Amen, Reverend Betty Shelby. You know, I like the illustration that you use about the gold, the gold bricks that are being laid up in us, as it is stated in Malachi chapter 2. It's like a refiner's fire. And as he refines us, we turn out to be pure gold. So not only are the big bricks laid up in us, but it's also being released so that others can see that we're shining with Jesus Christ on the outside. So now at this time, we want to continue the conversation about worship. And we've been joined by Angela Kay. I think she just dropped as well, but we'll continue on the process. But I want to ask this question. I'm going to leave it out on the floor between you, Reverend Betty Shelby, and Apostle Paulius. Do you feel like that worship is a requirement? Is it a requirement for every Christian, and especially the Christian leader? Reverend Betty Shelby, I'll open it up to you first and then Apostle Paulius.
Okay.
Reverend,
you said it's a requirement for every religious leader?
Yeah. Do you feel like it's a requirement, or do you, state if it's a requirement and if it's biblical that we actually remain in worship with God?
Yes, I believe it's a worship, because he says when the praises go up, the blessings come down. That's a worship that we do when we praise him for the victory in our lives, the victory, just the plain part of just salvation. When we look at salvation, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and he says our sins are washed away as far as the east is to the west, never to be brought before him, that is worship, because we come before him as filthy rags, dirty, nasty, like pigs in a pig pen, just filthy. And as we come to accept Jesus Christ, and he washes us and makes us clean and makes us pure and brings us out of the miry clay into the greener pastures, yes, that requires worship, because everybody's journey from where they come from and to come into this cup, it brings a blessing to the only thing I can say is when I became saved, it was glorious. It was glorious. It was amazing. It was awesome. And I just gave him worship. I thanked him for it. So I believe, yes, worship is a requirement that we give, because it comes from within instead of what we may see from the on the outside. Amen.
Amen, amen. This is so true. Our worship is the requirement before God. It is definitely something that he created man to do, simply just to worship him. And again, I'll state it again that our worship is not just like in song and our dancing and praising him. It's not just it's inclusive to all of it. It's the praise, thanks, love, confession, or repentance, you might say, giving our attention to God's word, his wills and his way, honor, obedience, and service. All of these things are a part of our worship unto God. And one of the things, as I said it before, our worship drives the flame of being in a relationship with God. Now, why is it important for a Christian leader to be in relationship with God? It is a requirement also. The Holy Bible tells us that if we draw closer to him, he will likewise draw closer to us. This means that every leader must apply themselves at getting closer to God by seeking him fervently in prayer. And when you speak to your mother or father, you expect that in most cases they will respond back to you. Well, in our relationship with God, we communicate to him in our prayers just as he is our friend or our father or our brother or our sister, and we wait for him to reply to it. And it may be that we receive a response through his word, something else he may communicate to through dreams, visions, and many other ways. We can't limit God or box him in and say how, when, where, and why he will communicate with us. We just wait up on him in faith to communicate with us and give us the answers that we're seeking, or give us the guidance, to fulfill the vision that he has for us. Apostle Paulius, would you care to share a little bit more with us regarding why we should be in relationship with God, and what is that relationship really about?
Thank you very much. Oh, Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. So as we are talking to leaders, Jesus Christ should be the one we focus, that the one that can able to teach us what worship really means. When we talk about worship, it's not necessary what we bow down to or what we sing or what we please. Worship is a priority, what you put in first in your life. What you honor most, it should be above yourself. It should be something that you regard to be the supreme being. As we look on John chapter 1, verse 14, we read, "The word became flesh and dwell among us." So now you can see the connection here. Now we could see the connection. The word became flesh, which means the flesh also can become the word. If the flesh could respond to the call of God to be born again and go through the process of self-suffering and sacrifice, eventually you will become like the word of God. So this is the mind of God, that we, the children, also will change, will transform to become the word of God. Like his dear son, Jesus Christ. See, this is the mind of God. This is the purpose of God, that we should be like Christ, his dear son. It seems that we are so missing the mark, or not allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us. We have adopted the worldly system and corrupted the word of God with money. Someone may ask, why should I be born if my father and my mother were properly married before I was born? Why should I be born again if my mother and my father were properly married before I was born? The answer is, there is no faith when it comes to marriage or sex, because without sex, we cannot produce children. It is lust, and lust is a sin. Romans chapter 14, verse 23b, faith. And everything that does not come from faith is a sin. So this is a complicated issue. But I will leave it to the Holy Spirit to explain to individual. So worship is not something that a flesh can worship God. A flesh cannot worship God if he cannot be born again. You have to born born by the Spirit. That the connection can be connected to God. And when you are born by the Spirit, you'll be connected to God, and you will hear from God, and you will put God first in everything you do. That means you are worshiping God. And every day before you wake up, you will remember your Creator and talk to him. Means when you are talking to him, you are worshiping. You have acknowledged him that he is present. By so doing, he will try to tell you the mystery of the kingdom, because the kingdom is not worldly kingdom. The kingdom is in the universe. It's in the spirit. So if you are not connected to the king, who is the king of the universe? How can he reveal the mystery to you? So first of all, as being we are flesh, the man of God is to for us to transform in the likeness of Christ. This is what God is looking for, that we can transform to be like Christ. As soon as we get that in, he's going to develop us, then we will be like Christ. Not totally like Christ, but his image. We are going to be an image like Christ. When he appears, we are going to be like him. That is the reason why Jesus came, to destroy the works of devil. That, say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. So he is the way. In everything, Jesus is the way. He is the one leading us to the Father. He is the one teaching us. He is the one. He has given us his Spirit. If you are not born again, you can never get his Spirit. The Spirit belongs to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit belongs to Jesus Christ. That's why he told his disciples, I'm going. If I don't go to the Father, that my Spirit will never come. But if I go, the Spirit will come. The Spirit is like Jesus Christ. So when the Spirit comes and dwells within us, he's going to develop us. He's going to change the whole world on sin. He's going to teach us the whole truth. So the very important thing is to be born again. No, born again is not going to church. Born again is we recognize that we are sinful men and we need Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge his power, his liberty, and ask forgiveness and tell God to allow the Holy Spirit to come and indwell us. He says, but those who believe in him, he gives them power to become the children of God. That power is when you become born again. He gives you the power to be born again. So if you don't have that connection, you can't be born again. So it is a very important thing that we put God first in everything we are doing. You put God first in everything we are doing. And when we put God first in everything we do, that is the power he has given us that we become the children of God. And every son of God wants his Father's kingdom to establish. He will tell you how to operate in the kingdom system, not the worldly system. The worldly system is being corrupted by our lust, our flesh is being corrupted. So God, by his Spirit in you, is going to develop you, how you can live your life. And that is different from the worldly system. You will not base your motive on money. But now, Christians have been dominated by money. Everywhere you go, money, money. There's no in the Bible where Jesus tell the people to bring money, tell the people to donate. Jesus didn't tell. The Holy Spirit himself will allow the people to bring their money because it's the power. He controls everything. But now we have allowed the money to lead us, and the money is corrupting the word of God. That the Christian leaders should identify whom they are serving. Jesus said, you can never worship two masters. Either you worship one and disguise the other one. You can't serve God and money together. No way. That's why he said we should seek his kingdom first. So our number one agenda is to seek God's kingdom first. To seek God's kingdom first. And when we are seeking his kingdom, the spirit will develop you. It will let you go through trials. You know, devil is also don't want God's kingdom to come. So he will try to stop you. But his spirit will teach you all things, will let you know everything, that you will never be deceived again if you put God first in everything you are doing. Amen. Amen.
And amen. I totally agree with you there, Apostle. And I just want to add a little bit more to it, that it's very important that we commune within our inner man spirit so that we may release what was imparted to us by the holy power of the Holy Spirit. Since God is with us along the journey way, he sees all, knows all, and hears all. So he will protect us and shield us from the darkness even when our eyes are closed. He must be our ultimate friend. So in our relationship with him. So that means that we are dying to ourselves, dying to everything outside of us, everything around us, so that we will experience the fullness of Christ in all things. And Reverend Betty Shelby, I open it up to you to give additional comments in this area.
Amen. On worship, all I want to say is that, on relationship. Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. When I think of relationship, when Jesus was with his disciples, and the Last Supper is what it's called, the Last Supper, when he said, when he washed their feet, and then he announced that one would betray him, and then he said that the bread symbolizes his body, that it would be broken, and he gave it to his disciples, and the wine symbolizing his blood, that he gave the cup to each and every one that they sipped. And he said, do this in remembrance to me. I believe that right there, even though he was showing them every day how to help people and how to deliver, he made a relationship with his disciples to say, to do this in remembrance to me. And that has gone on through the years and will continue until he comes again to be with us, of a heavenly and earthly relationship with him, meaning earthly with us here that we do this. And he didn't say to do it just on the first Sunday, the second Sunday. He just said whenever
just do this whenever. We could do this every day, and we could have a relationship reminding of what he did, that his body was broken. By his stripes, we are healed. And by the blood that was shed, pierced in the side, blood and water came out. And the blood is just symbolizing the cleansing that he does, that he did for us. That is a relationship when we partake of this. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let us talk a little bit about covenant as well, because our cognitive thinking, our inner man being has to be in covenant with God in order for us to be able to receive the mysteries, the revelation on any vision that he gives to us, or any passion or inspiration that he imparts with us, so that we can fulfill the mission of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's talk a little bit about covenant, Apostle. Why is it so important for the Christian leader to remain in covenant in order to get the visions that God do have for us to bring change here on earth?
Thank you very much. You know, covenant is something that is between God and his people. And all what we have discussed are entwined together. They lead to each other. Worship, relationship, covenant, they're all in the same category. But covenant is very, very important that we always recognize the covenant, that our God is a covenant-keeping God. That's why in the early stage when he came, he chose, when he was he's planning for redemption of the whole world, he chose a nation to be his people. And we all know about Abraham's covenant with God, how God was God was faithful all his ways. He could not, break his covenant because of what he has promised Abraham for. So this assures us about God's faithfulness in all his ways. So when we remember a covenant, we remember that God can never break his covenant as long as his word is concerned. So when we talk about relationship, when we talk about worship, when we talk about everything, all is included in the covenant relationship with God. So Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, that speaks more than Abel's voice. It's a covenant, something that when God, when the blood of Jesus Christ pour on that day, Friday, it was something that broke every situation. God always remember the blood of Jesus Christ, and the blood of Jesus Christ is the last sacrifice of God keeping his covenant with people. And devil cannot even withhold that blood. You see, blood only can be there in the flesh. So we also not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. So Jesus Christ's blood, was able to penetrate, to fight the principalities and powers and make an open show. You know, when we talk about gates of hell, devil hide the key of hell in the grave. So nobody can go to the grave and get a key. Nobody can go to the grave and get a key. But Jesus Christ, he did not know that Jesus Christ will go to the grave and get a key because he is a sinful, he's a sinless nature. So the blood make him, Jesus Christ, to went to the grave and able to collect the key that the devil had hid in the grave. Nobody, Muhammad, went there, he couldn't come back. Buddha went there, he couldn't, all religious leaders, and all those religious, none of them could able to come. Apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was able to go there and get a key and bring back and say, all authority has given to me. So, Jesus Christ's blood is the covenant something that when we mention the name of Jesus Christ, oh, that makes, even if God is even busy, he will come and listen to by the name of Jesus Christ because of the covenant-keeping God. So we should all the time make sure that we mention the name of Jesus Christ in our prayers. In our prayers. We can't pray without Jesus Christ. We can't pray without Jesus Christ. That prayer is meaningless. But if we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, then we can able to have that confidence, to have that assurance that our prayers will be answered. Because our God is a God who keeps a covenant. And he assures us that he will never forsake us or leave us until the end of the time. So is the name of Jesus Christ, his blood and his name, is that keeping us, is now marching us to Zion. So I assure you, if all nations will establish this name Jesus Christ in their schools, in their children, I'm telling you, the devil will soon be wiped away because he feared that name. He feared the name of Jesus Christ. That's why he's trying to stop people to mention the name of Jesus Christ. He's trying to keep out Jesus Christ's name because that name is a bomb to devil. It's a bomb to devil. And what brought that name is love, the love of God. We always say God is love. Yes, God is love. He demonstrated, Jesus Christ is the only person who demonstrated the love of God. And because it's the nature of God himself, he was able to defeat death. How could he stand that? He did it because he worshipped God in the truth, in the spirit. He knew God's mind that he should come and redeem it. So before we can have that decision, we have to try to know the mind of Christ. We have to know the mind of God. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, it's in danger. Anybody, any identity, any human being who exalts himself against the knowledge of Christ, that person is in danger. Because you cannot exalt yourself against the knowledge of Christ. So it's for we, the Christian leaders, to look only to God, not to compromise with our elders, not to compromise with anybody. Not to compromise with our wife, not to compromise with anybody, but to, look up to only God, who has the key, who has the power to redeem us. So covenant is very, very important. As I've said, it is all in one. It's a three in one, worship, fellowship, and covenant. It's a three in one all together. That, we honor God and we respect him. And his word is supreme above everything. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I agree with you totally. And
as I started out saying, our covenant with Jesus Christ empowers and equips us to remain steadfast and movable and abiding in his will. Because when we continue to read in the Word of God, the Word is Spirit, and we also have the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit that become visible to us. And when we learn those gifts and we are able to utilize them in the vision that God have given us, we are able to fulfill the mission. So we can stay focused in the vision because we know that it is his baby. It's not ours. It's not our baby no longer. It's something that is his baby. And we know that if we are fail in it, that we're not abiding in his will. So it's not to the point of not getting up after the failure. But this feeling should provoke us into overcoming and prevailing until the mission is totally complete, long as we have breath. And also keep in mind the vision of God will always put the devil to shame once it is finished. So we must remain focused in the vision that God gives us, and the only way we can do that is being keeping our worship relationship and covenant continuously going. God's presence is also dwelling with us to guide us in all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And that is when we are in covenant. When Isaac was suffering, Isaac was never suffering, I'm sorry, but when there is suffering in the land from a famine, Isaac prospered, and the Bible tells us he was in covenant with God. So, which was different, totally different and unique from everybody else. That vision that gave him the capability of prospering through that season is something that had to have come from God. And he had to have been seeking him, worshiping him, being in relationship with him. And he learned it from Abraham, who also was in covenant with God. These are things that, even though they're from the Old Testament, a lot of people want to throw away the Old Testament, but I believe you have to read the full gospel and take the full word of God and utilize it as a tool to be equipped by the Spirit of the living God. He didn't allow you to exist, but for one purpose, and that is to worship him, adore him, and have a covenant relationship with him. So it's very important for the Christian leader to remain in covenant with God, remain in worship and relationship with God. And the opposite of this is that we have someone who have had a relationship with God and maybe now is disconnected from God. And when we look in the book of Matthew, Jesus is saying, "Shoo away from me because I never knew you." That's a scary thing for the Christian leader to be able to be performing miracles and healing, but not be in relationship with God. That's the final thing, because those gifts that he give us, we don't go, if we're in covenant, we don't just get up and use them the way we want to. We use them the way that God want us to use them, and when he says to use them, how he says to use them. And we cannot know that unless we are yoked by him and remaining in covenant with him, so that he can continue to reveal his will for us in the visions or in the inspiration that he imparts to us. So again, our worship relationship and covenant with God must be in truth and spirit in order for it to manifest his glory over all that we do for him.
By doing so, we will increase his kingdom here on earth, and we can reign on earth having dominion and power over all darkness. Reverend Betty, I'm opening up the floor for you to give your view on covenant, with being in covenant with God. Why is it so important for the Christian leader to remain in covenant with God?
Amen. Praise the Lord. One I want to talk about is the blood covenant. And the covenant, number one, is a binding agreement. It's agreement that happens between God and Abraham, God and Moses, and the ultimate one is with God and his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with us. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For us the heavens are higher than the earth, or so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This simply tells us that, you know, God thinks a lot higher than what we think. And having a relationship or a covenant that he made with us through his son, Jesus Christ, lets us know that this agreement that he made with his son, that he went to the cross and he died for us, and he went to hell and got the keys, and went to heaven and got the keys, and then he came to us and gave us the keys to the heavens, that gave us the keys here on earth, that we may have a right, that we can walk into heaven, that there is no veil, there's that keeps us from going to God ourselves. That is a wonderful thing. He also tells us that in this covenant that he has, that Jesus says in John 10:10 that I came to that they may have life and life more abundantly. So we have abundant life. We are not, when we accept Jesus Christ, the covenant, and we have life. Then he also tells us that we are new creations. All things are passed away and all things are made new. That we walk not by the Spirit, but according to, we walk by the Spirit, but not according to the flesh. And that we reign in life and that we are citizens of heaven. That helps us to stay in covenant. By reading his word and studying, he gave us the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance of his word and the things that Jesus did. And he helps, he gives us good gifts, and he enriches us to do better, to go forward. I remember one day that my soul, my spirit, I was cast down. I feel like I was very low. Like, you know how you look out the doors and you say, oh, it's going to rain today. And I was feeling very low. And the Holy Spirit, he says, why so cast down thy soul? Put your hope in me. And it brought joy into my heart. So with that covenant and agreement that God has given us, it helps us to look up. Look up to the hills from which cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord. That is awesome. And he says, another word that comes to mind is when Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will be with you to the ends of the earth, of the world. That is another covenant that he has given with us, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, when we think about it, we can leave Jesus, we can leave God, but he's going to still be there. But it's our choice. He gives us a choice. And he knows that we fall, but he says in his word, a man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. This is the good part. that when we fall, we get back up. When we make mistakes, we can repent. That is an ultimate and a lasting covenant that God has made for us. He's made a way out for us in everything that we do. He's made a way out. And when things are new and you don't know, he still makes a way out, and he helps us. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's look at this a little bit more, because when we look at relationship, worship, and covenant, you know, you can look at it in various dimensions, and we're going to look at it at this angle now. Is there anything that we can do to attain to worship or hold on to covenant or hold on to our relationship with God, or is it something that he has just given us and it's there? Apostle Paulius.
Yes, there's no way, as I've told you at the beginning, that the whole world is under the influence of devil. He is behind the scene, causing all these problems, because devil himself is a spirit. We cannot see him, and we cannot fight him. But the fight that we can fight him is when we too, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we also enter into the spirit. That is where we can engage with him, by battling him with the spirit, because all what he does is to cause things to happen in the flesh that will give us worried or that. But if you know Jesus Christ, you know, when you see things happening, you will not be worried. You will not be worried, because the person that has already defeated him is inside you. So how can you be worried? You will not be worried. So those who don't know, those who don't have relationship with God, will be worried. And as soon as you worry, your decision will be bogus. You can't have a good decision. All your decision will be in the flesh. But if you have relationship with God, you are worshiping him in the spirit and truth, and you know that you have a covenant with him, he gives you confidence. He gives you boldness. He gives you not to fear. So even if you hear a bad news, you will not take it. Even when somebody calls you, you won't mind, because the battle is in the spirit, and you are engaging the devil in the spirit. So what you see, the result you see in the flesh, cannot let you lose your temper or your attitude or something. So you will still have the confidence and calm yourself, but God himself will fight your battle for you. So if you know all this, and if you have a relationship with God, and if you, have confidence with God, and if you worship in the truth and spirit, my brother, my sister, whatever you are going through in this physical realm, it will not bother you. It will not bother you.
Amen.
It will even make you strong that you are facing a demon that cannot be handled. But that demon is going to be taken care already. All what he's doing is just to, because you are living the flesh, just to, make you know that there's a battle is going on in the spiritual realm. So those who don't know all these things, they will be worried. As soon as you become worried, it means you doubt God. You doubt the assistance of God. You doubt the ability of God, without the possibility of God, without the capability of God, who can blow the world within a second. So it is very, very important that we worship him in the truth, in the spirit, and we have a relationship with him, and also have that covenant. You know, flesh, we have all this legal term that we are saying. It's a legal term in the flesh, because we are in the flesh. So, but if Jesus Christ is in us, he will not even bother of anything. All this division of this and this, there is a legal term. And then flesh has a lot of things to say. Flesh has a lot of things to say.
Mm.
But if you are in the spirit, it's one thing. One. It's three in one.
Okay, Reverend Betty Shelby. Let's say for someone that's on the call that's a Christian leader, or someone that's listening right now that is not a Christian leader but are aspiring to be a Christian leader, but they don't know about worship and relationship and covenant with God. Can you bring some enlightenment to that now?
Amen. For someone that does not know worship or know God, first of all, I want to say there is some knowing of God. It's all over. You see churches, you see on TV, people that you talk to, there's something that you know, that you hear of God. Now, to know him, I can tell you one thing, is to love him, and he loves us. When he says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What I want to say is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, have faith, believe in who he is. He's the Almighty. He has a name. Jesus Christ is a name above all other names. Can't nothing touch him. If you have any disease, by his stripes you are healed, and his name, Jesus Christ, cures everything, even in relationships. If you're out looking for a husband, Jesus Christ is the one. If you pray to him and ask and truthfully believe, he will send you the right one. To worship him, one he says is that we ask not, if we ask, we have not because we ask not. To worship him is to ask. He loves it when we come and ask him, and as little children, not knowing, but to ask him, and he rewards us. He will answer. That's the best word I can say is that he will answer. And as he answers you'll develop a relationship. You will truly learn to ask. You will also learn to seek. And he says if you seek, you'll find. And he will help you. I was trying to think of that scripture that he's a God that feels. He knows us. He created us. And he feels. He already knows. He feels it. He knows when we're hurt. He knows that when we're happy. He already knows. But if we look up and we just ask and give all our cares and burdens, it's what he says, give all to me, and he will go from there. He'll take it. If you just take the one step, God will take it from there. Amen?
Amen. And, you know, Apostle Paulius had mentioned early on or several times throughout the conversation that it requires the Holy Spirit. And in order for us to have the Holy Spirit, we must commune with God. We have to commune and seek Him. It says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and all things will come into existence. All things will come into place. All things will be revealed to us. And I can remember just going back when at first I was raised in a Baptist church and not too much was ever exposed about the Holy Spirit. However, I felt that I was truly connected with God in some way. And it wasn't until later when I became born again and experienced the power of the Holy Spirit that I knew and I understood what it was all about. And I think the whole thing about it all when it happened to me when I became born again was seeking God and asking Him, God, I just wanted to know more about God. And I said, God, if you were for real, please reveal yourself to me. And God began to reveal Himself to me. So as Reverend Betty Shelby said, it's asking, you know, going to the Father, going down on your knees, pleading with the Father to know Him and ask Him to sharpen you and polish you, give you the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that you will need to stand as a Christian leader and to be guided by the Holy Spirit, to be healed in the heart by the Holy Spirit. And Sister Angela Chambers have joined us. So I'm going to ask you, Sister Angela, can you please share how you think you some of your experiences, how a Christian leader may be able to be in covenant and have a relationship and worship God. Your microphone is open now, Sister Angela Chambers. Okay. All right. Maybe she's not able to connect and there's some technical difficulty. I'm going to turn it back over to Apostle Paulius on your view of how someone, a Christian leader or someone who is aspiring to be a Christian leader or just a child of God out there, they want to know more about how to worship and have a relationship and be covenant in covenant with Him, or someone who have fallen away and need healing in the heart, need to know the realness of God and truth and spirit and have been taught falsely, how can they find this covenant relationship and worship with God, Apostle Paulius?
Thank you very much. The reason why Jesus came is to connect the flesh, that flesh also will connect Him and relate to God, who is the Spirit. So say the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we are living in the flesh. But now, because of Jesus Christ, we can have the Spirit. The Spirit can communicate to us. You know, the Spirit have operate in five senses. The Spirit operates in five senses, both the evil spirit and the good spirit, or the Holy Spirit, they operate in five senses. So sometimes, the Spirit may be with you, but because you don't know how the Spirit operates, you will not be connected to Him. You will miss Him. Sometimes, you may be in your room, and you may have an odor, a smell, if you know that the Spirit has a descendant, He has come there. So you have to breathe in. You breathe in, then you take in the Spirit inside you, because the Spirit operate in five senses. You can smell him. As soon as you spread the good odor, it means the spirit is with him. Sometimes he will come like an electric shock. It will operate in your vein. You will see some electrical, something like electrical shock in your vein. You feel it in your vein. It means the spirit is there, trying to come into your body. As I said, the spirit operates in five senses. So in a rare part, you have to do something that will draw the spirit to you, that the spirit will come and, I mean, manifest himself to you or reveal the mystery of the kingdom to you. So it's very, very important. The first thing you have to do is to see yourself as a sinner and go to your knees and ask God that you acknowledge that you are a sinner. And that Jesus came to die for you. So you humbly ask Jesus Christ to come to you. And Jesus Christ will come as his spirit, the Holy Spirit will come to you. Then as soon as he comes to you, you don't let him go. You maintain him. You know, when you are having a relationship with somebody, your girlfriend or a boyfriend whom you love, you always want to keep him. You always want to communicate to him. You always. So that is the reason the Holy Spirit will say. But if you do something that will provoke him, he will leave. So you do things. You read the Bible and find things that you do to maintain him, that you keep him. You just make him feel happy all the time. You let him feel happy all the time. So he will remain with you and continue to teach you and continue to reveal the mystery of the kingdom to you. So you keep him. Your focus is to keep the Holy Spirit. Don't allow him to go. So as soon as he comes, you keep him. Then you maintain him. You develop love with him. You do things that will make him happy. You do things that will make him smile all the time. Then he will continue to teach you, to reveal the mystery of the kingdom to you. Then sometimes when trial comes, he will let you, he will test you to see whether you are developing. He will test you. And when you pass, he will be happy that you pass the test. Then he will come again. He will never leave you. Sometimes you may think you are alone, but you are not alone. He's there. He's there just for you to know that you are with him. He's there. He's not leaving you. So just let some tests to come to see whether how he's teaching you. You have seen the life. You show the mystery. So when you continue, then he becomes the Lord of your life. You cannot do anything without him. You cannot even sleep without him. You cannot eat without him. You cannot do nothing without him. So he becomes part and parcel of you. So the devil cannot come to you again because the Spirit is there, guiding you, protecting you. If you cannot come to you again. So the most importantly thing that you have to do is to see yourself that without Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Word, and he became flesh. So now the Word and the flesh coming together. So God wanted we, the flesh, also becoming the Word. The Word became flesh, and we now, the flesh, is now becoming the Word. So you see the connection there. The Word became flesh, and the flesh also becoming the Word.
Amen.
So this is how we can able to, have the mind of God, that we can able to do things for Him, and the worship, and the relationship, and the covenant will just follow us. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah, so this has really been a great enlightening show. Anytime when you talk about the Word of God or you talk about the kingdom of God in any way, it revives you, it moves your soul, your spirit, your mind, and it drives you and gives you that extra energy to keep going on in life and in everything. And as Apostle Paul said, you won't have time to worry when you are truly connected with Abba Father, because your faith has increased to a level where you know that you know that you know that He will be there for you in all things. And you just sit and you wait upon the Lord, and He will be there for all of you that are seeking Him, and He will never let you go. And it's up to you to maintain that relationship. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord, in the Lord. So it's important for us as Christian believers to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And His Word is spirit. It was in the beginning, and so is it in the end. So every part of the Word of God is very important to us in helping us to remain empowered and equipped in the kingdom of God. Now I want to leave some time for the end of the show so that Apostle Apollyas and Reverend Betty Shelby will be able to share a little bit about themselves and their ministries. Apostle Paulus, I'm opening up the floor to you first to share who you are and what you're about and what your ministry is.
Thank you very much. I thank the Holy Spirit who has become my comforter, my teacher, my everything. He opened my understanding for us to know that the devil fights us when, the seed of the woman become, a woman takes in. He knows that when a woman takes in, he wants to bring life to the world. So he started to fight, either through abortion or the time of birth, the midwives and the nurses. You know, we have only two spirits, Holy Spirit and the evil spirit. If it's not the Holy Spirit, it will be evil spirit. So if the nurses are not with the Holy Spirit, they will be also with the evil spirit. So when Moses, during the time of Old Testament, when Moses, was about to born, King Pharaoh make a policy that every male child that will be born should be killed. Now you cannot see that because now it's in the spirit. Now Christians, we are spiritual Israelites. So what happened to Israelites is not happening to us in the spiritual realm. But God has given us understanding. The Holy Spirit has made me to know what happened to Israelites in the natural is not happening to us in the spirit realm. So the Holy Spirit has instructed me, has given me assignment to build a holy Spirit Maternity Clinic, whereby the nurses and the midwives that will work there are people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And we are fully, having the Holy Spirit. We are going to train them whereby they will, deliver the children that are in the their mother's womb. The children, the women that have taken in. We are going to, protect these children and make sure that no evil can touch them to sell their destiny. It was revealed to me that when children are born, either they kill them or they sell their destiny. As soon as they sell their destiny, these children grown up to become, they cannot know how to live in life. They become addicted to drugs and all sort of things. So God has, the Holy Spirit has shown to me just to build maternity clinics just to protect the unborn children, because children can never be able to protect themselves. We have to protect them. So we are going to protect them as soon as their mother takes in and bring them to this world, fully protected by the Holy Spirit, so that the devil cannot touch them or sell their destiny. So now we are building a maternity clinic in Ghana. I call it Isaiah 52 Project, whereby we are going to build a lot of maternity clinics in our community. And because Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ started his ministry in his hometown. He didn't start his ministry in Jerusalem. He started it in hometown. So being Jesus Christ being the author and the finisher of our faith, I'm starting the ministry or the project in my hometown, which is in Ghana, before we spread it out to other communities. So I'm appealing to everybody to come and partner with us. This is a Holy Spirit project. This is a divine giving project that God has assigned me to do. So whosoever is willing to partner with us, you will be welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Apostle Paulius, would you like to share your website address and a phone number where they can contact you, just in case, or your email address where they can contact you for any listeners that may be wanting to partner with you and maybe volunteering as nurses or doctors in the clinic for missions work? Would you like to share your details with them?
Yes. Our website is www.isaiah52project.org. I say it again, www.isaiah52project.org. Or Christ for the Africans Ministries at yahoo.com. My telephone number is 469-652-4686. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. And Reverend Betty Shelby, I'm opening the door for you to share a little bit about yourself and the ministry that you have.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, my name is Reverend Betty L. Shelby. I pastor in Boley, Oklahoma. It's a little small town, at Amos Temple CME Church. It's Christian Methodist Episcopal Church. I am chosen by God to do a work. And in Boley, it's a small community, but it is in need of doctors, it's in need of nurses, it's in need of businesses to come through. God has given me compassion for his children. I also have worked with the homeless, with the drug and alcohol and domestic violence. I love, as the Lord gives me, teaches me to minister, teaches me to help others, I give it back to the community in any way that I can. I love the Lord. I love his mission that he has for me, and I love to do it. I love to give. I love to talk to people in love.
Okay, amen. Would you like to share the address for the church or your email or phone number in case anyone find interest of coming into Boley to help out the small area and also help in the area of health and teaching the people in the area.
Okay. I'll give you my email address and my phone number that you can contact me on. My email address is BTTY, that's Betty without the E, BTTY underscore Shelby, Shelby, at yahoo.com. My number is 918-421-1055. You can contact me anytime.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. Great. There you have it to the audience, to the people that are listening to Blog Talk Radio Show, Kingdom Empowerment, Inc. We have talked about the first series today about Christian leadership, worship, relationship, and covenant. And we have disclosed the most important reasons as to why the Christian leader should remain in covenant and worship and relationship with the Most High God so that you will be able to fulfill the visions and plans and goals that God have given you for the kingdom of God and help other the people that are following you or the people that have are part of your vision to help them to see clearly and concisely what God has ordained for you to do. And we look forward to talking about the next series, which will be coming up hopefully next week, things that will help a strong Christian leadership to increase in the body of Christ, which is very much needed in this hour. We'll be talking about Series 2, Develop Genuine Trust and Credibility for Your Followers. And also, this coming up soon, let's see, March 1st, actually, we will be meeting with Tracy Brown Hill of Dallas, Texas, who will be giving a testimony of her life. And it's an awesome testimony that Tracy has to share, so I hope you will join us and be a part of the radio show that we will have at that time. And that's all that we will be sharing tonight on the topic. And I'm going to ask that Reverend Betty Shelby to close us out in prayer.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you, praise you for this radio program. We thank you for the airways. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you are our Heavenly Father, the author and the finisher of our lives. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came, lived, died, and rose again for us. And he stands at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Father, we just pray over each and every voice,
each and every ear that has heard and has spoken, Father, your word in Jesus' name. You say in your word, one planteth, one watereth, but you giveth increase. And, Father, we ask that you increase us in all ways, Father, your word and in what we do, Father, for your work and to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Apostle, can you please close us, share the grace of our Lord and Savior with us as we close out for tonight?
Thank you very much. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy.
Goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life.
And we shall
dwell in the house of the Lord
forever and ever.
And ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, you have been on the Radio Talk Blog Talk Radio Show with Kingdom Empowerment, Inc. This is the host, Donna Wortham, signing off, and we thank everyone for joining us tonight, and we appreciate everyone that will continue to be a part of our show. We look forward to having you next week, which is March 1st with Tracy Brown at 1 p.m. on March 1st, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, an interview with Tracy Brown. Testimony, giving her testimony. And we look forward to also you being a part with us on, again, with Kingdom Christian Leadership, which we will have scheduled for Monday of next week. And we say have a blessed evening. Enjoy your week in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.